Liz, I'd like to spend today, probably the last share of this month, to give you a few graphic mashalim, and because, you know, the mashal is something which is very, very powerful. The pasuk says over here, Perek Dalud, pasuk base. The pasuk says, Leisesifu al hadova asher nechi mitzave eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you should not add on to anything I told you. Neither shall you subtract from what I told you. Lishmer its mitzvahs Hashem, to guard the words of Hashem. Elikechem, asher nechi mitzaveh eschem, that I have commanded you. Einechem horois, your eyes saw. Eis asher osa Hashem abal po'er, what he did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu abal po'er. Kuchol ish asher holach acher abal po'er, hishmidoi Hashem elikecha mikirbecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed those people in the Baal Po'er. Now on this, there's two nekudas, two points that have to be developed in order to understand the problem with Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. Baal Tosif means there's an issa to add on to the Torah. For example, I'm not allowed to, if I have four parshas and tefillin, I'm not allowed to add in a fifth parsha and tefillin. If I have four arba minim, I have four lulav esrog dasim arabas, I cannot add on a fifth mean to that. That's Issa Baal Tosif. Issa Deraisa Baal Tosif. Also, there's Issa Baal Tigra. I can't take off. I can't add on and I can't take off. I can't take off, use three meaning for my Lulav and Esrog. I can't put three parshas in my tefillin. So on that, the Bani Musa ask, why do we say you're not allowed to add on to the Torah? Why can't I add on a fifth parsha? I'm including everything Hashem told me and I'm being lifnei Meshur Sadin. Hashem says I should have four parashas of my tefillin. I'm putting in a fifth parasha of my tefillin. Everything you said, plus, I'm doing more. People have long beards and long payers. Why can't I add on an extra parasha of my tefillin? What's wrong? Bisham will sigra to take off. Hashem said, do something and don't do it. You can understand, but why? What's the issue about Tosif? Why can't I add on to what Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to do?
He's telling us four.
Okay, but four means a minimum. Well, I can't add on. I can't do another one. I do your four. I do another one besides that. I want to do more than you ask from me.
But what you have to do is four. He's not asking for
a fifth. Lifnei Meshur Hasadin. I'm going to add on the fifth one. You know, you asked me to do four. Number two, what's the connection between Baal Tigra and Baal Tosif and Baal Po'er? What is the connection between Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra and the problem of Baal Po'er? Baal Po'er, by the way, was the Mishnah translates it to meaning in Sanhedrin, the Baal Po'er is basically the punk culture. It's basically a culture with absolutely no restraints. Everything was permitted. You know, Baal Po'er has been taken on very, very widely in Amsterdam. It's been in Baruch Hashem. It's now today the Baal Po'er capital of the world, where you basically have no restraints. Everything is legal.
So where was it? Was this midrash?
The Mishnah says that. The Mishnah says, how do you serve Baal Po'er? A person would make feces, a person would excrete, and then he would throw stones at it. He'd serve his excrement. Now what's the idea of serving excrement? Serving excrement means that the excrement is something that every person appreciates, even animals appreciate. That excrement is something you've got to cover, something you don't have out in the open, something which is embarrassing to a certain extent, something that you hide. And they not only did not hide it, they actually served it. Yeah, and that is what people walk around with ripped clothes and earrings right around the earlobe. But that's partial showing of no restraints. We do whatever we want, however we want, look however we want. That is the idea. That's Baal Po'er. So what connection is that to Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra? So Dubna Magid gave a very, very nice moshel. Dubna Magid said that there was a story of a fellow who went on a very long mission. Went on a long trip. So before he left his two beautiful candlesticks in the hands of his neighbour. And he told him, listen, these candlesticks are worth a lot of money and they're very precious to me. Do me a favour, look after them. When I come back, give them back to me. So no problem. Anyway, he goes on this trip, he comes back, goes to his neighbour and says to him, you know, can I have my candlesticks back? He says, you know, your candlesticks are unique. They're unbelievable. So what are you talking about? He says, I've never seen anything like it. One night, I hear this crying from my silver cabinet. And I open my silver cabinet, and there is this candlestick in labour. And eventually, after a lot of pushing and amazingly, like this candlestick, a little tiny candlestick appeared. a new little candlestick appeared. It's unbelievable. So this guy Nebuch, either he's lost it or he's, you know, on some substance abuse. And Nebuch, I mean, so you know what? It's there still. So yeah, sure. Do you want it back? No, keep it. Maybe I have more kids. Anyway, so he leaves it another few weeks. Comes back and he says, you know, your candlesticks. They had twins. There are three little candlesticks now. One's a little bit bigger. Two little ones look very much the same. Three candlesticks now in my silver cabinet. The guy says, you know, okay, listen, you never know. You could have a whole solid candlestick industry soon if it is candlesticks. The guy's nuts. Fine. I'm going to give it back to him. It's fine. And two candlesticks, five candlesticks. Comes back 2 weeks later. Can I have my five candlesticks back? He says, oh, I'm so sorry. What can I tell you? There's an epidemic. They all died. All your five candlesticks died. He said, what are you talking about? Candlesticks don't die. How can candlesticks die? He said, and the candlesticks have babies? Just like you believe that candlesticks have babies, now you've got to believe that candlesticks died. Sorry, I've got no candlesticks for you. Says in Dubna Magid, if a person believes that they're in control, that something suddenly can have babies, that you can add on to the Torah, in other words, that you can use your initiative to add on to the Torah, that same initiative you can use to take off from the Torah. Torah is not something that is given to a human being to negotiate whether he fancies doing it or whether he doesn't fancy doing it, how much or how little. Yiddishkeit is there in a direct, exact amount, created by the Das Elyon, by the infinite mind, to tell us and to describe to us and to command us exactly how much and how little to do. And therefore, don't think if I add on, you know, if you add on, you can take off too. You know, like a fellow who went fundraising for an institution, and he came back and gave him all his money, with all the receipts exactly the way it should be. And a week later, he said, oh, I forgot to give you another $1,000. It's another $1,000. He was fired on the spot. Why? Because if he can get the receipt so beautifully, and they didn't notice he had $1,000 extra, they won't notice that he covered up and he had $1,000 missing as well. That is the idea of Bartosim Maltigra. Bartosim Maltigra means that our mind is far too small for us to appreciate what's considered a big mitzvah, what isn't a big mitzvah. Most of the world's troubles today are people who are taken on, unfortunately, a particular theme that they believe is more important than other themes, and have put priority on those themes on effect of everything else. Global jihad is the idea of Dawah Islam goes over Dawah Hamid, right? Dawah Harif. The two things, Dawah Islam and Dawah Harif. The whole thing about it. But what it means is that one has to any country that was once lived in by the Islams and now is Harib, now is destroyed, you've got to get it back to Dawah Islam. You've got to take it back, and therefore that deserves jihad, it deserves bloodshed, in order that the survival of the Muslim race should be strong again. And that takes priority to allowing one's own children to blow themselves up to pieces, to killing innocent people. That's Dawah, that's jihad. Rahman al-Islam is sometimes an understanding of jihad within the Jewish nation too. People take on one mitzvah far more than other mitzvahs. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah deraisa according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban it isn't. According to the Ramban it's a mitzvah deraisa. But a mitzvah deraisa is by no means more important a mitzvah than a Hilchus Shabbos, and a Hilchus Shemitah, and a Hilchus Tznius, and a Hilchus Talmud Torah, and a Hilchus Tefillin. It's not. It's one of the other mitzvahs. They have to make a whole shit of the whole... You know, there's no such thing as Tefillinism. People take on Tefillin more than anything else. But there's something such a thing called Zionism. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's no din that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is more chosh than anything else. It's not. It's not one of the mitzvahs. And therefore, to make a whole shitter out of it, and to make that more chosh than Hilchus Shabbos, and Hilchus this, and Hilchus that, is you missing the point. That is the idea of, and even if you think you're doing the right thing, sometimes doing a completely wrong thing. In other words, for example, we find by the proof of the pudding is by Baal Pa'or. Baal Pa'or, Klal Yisrael have Baal Pa'or. Now, you have Baal Pa'or over there, what do you do? Everyone they see is abusing this Avodah Zarah. Let's join in. It's a mitzvah to abuse Avodah Zarah. Moshe Ben said, no, don't abuse it. No, mitzvah. We're going to put a new mitzvah now of abusing Avodah Zarah. That mitzvah of abusing Avodah Zarah was in fact its service. The mitzvah of abusing Avodah Zarah was in fact the mitzvah of Baal Pa'or. That was the service of Baal Pa'or. And therefore you can see how corrupt a person's mind can be, that they can think that they're doing a mitzvah when in fact it's the biggest avera. That's the connection between Leisif about Tigra and Baal Pa'ur. The Baal Pa'ur, the very fact that you think you're doing an Aveira, you're doing the mitzvah is the biggest Aveira. One has to know that there's a Torah, and a Torah lo tehei mukhlefet, Torah will never change an iota. The circumstances, how it's kept, will change. But the Torah itself will never ever change. And when a person puts their mind into it and thinks he has a new shitter on something, oh, he's got a new derech to do something, one has to know that chodosh osim in the Torah. That the Chasam Sofer used to say that chodosh osim in the Torah. That we have to know that new things are sometimes things that are actually going to pull a person away from Yiddishkeit, not going to encourage people within Yiddishkeit. Chodosh osim in the Torah is a play on words, because chodosh is referring to the new tevuah. Chodosh is new tevuah. Right, and then for chodesh, the Gemara says chodesh osim in the Torah. In order to have chodesh upon, so he learns chodesh osim in the Torah. In order to have these new things, new ideas, people come up with these unbelievable, new, revolutionary things or ways of learning. Okay, you know, the revolution in, the revolution out. It's das Torah. There's mesira. There's mesira. Exactly how to learn. We have a fantastic mesira. Then revolutions. That's Baal Pa'ur. The prosecutor, yeah.
It's a work.
Maybe they will work. Maybe right now they will work. But you don't experiment to make on rats. Not a bochum in yeshiva or people trying to keep Yiddishkeit in the streets.
Okay, but if you have something that has been tried or not, on that it works.
Okay. If it's been tried on, and it's been tried on long enough, so then it's okay. But you don't. You got to know who's doing it and what you're giving up. And what kind of Masura you're challenging with what you're doing. It's very, very delicate. Yiddishkeit is very delicate.
Well, there are certain big changes that the Gedolim often do make, like in the Kollel system after the war, and the Chinuch system, rebuilding up America, the way yeshivas work. The way they started things off there weren't like a direct how they'd been before. They revolutionized it.
But the leader, but they made
and the book
they
had was just in size, not just in size.
The leaders of generation.
Yeah, first of all, it was just in size, not in revolution. Nobody said, deciding in the mirror, decided to do Kabbalah in the morning instead of Eel. Yeah, it's doing Kabbalah.
So it was just in numbers.
It's within numbers. It's within numbers and within the numbers of the yeshiva and the quality of the yeshiva, but that's not for the revolution.
So they didn't start doing anything they hadn't ever done before. They just did it in a different way.
Yeah, and therefore, but even when Hasidus started, there was a huge amount of opposition. Eventually, it proved itself. Eventually, Hasidus did prove itself, and it did save a large part of Klal Yisrael. But until it did, there was opposition from all the Gedolim. I mean, Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a grandson who became a Hasid, and Shlomo Eiger, his son, who read at the back of the room, Marashal, Hagaras Marashal at the back, set shiva for his son. Rabbi Akiva saying, "Don't worry, you'll be okay." But he became a Talmud of the Mizrach Magid. But again, at that time they were very, very worried. You've got to be very careful. Chodosh osim in atzayir. And therefore, leisif leisigra. Don't think you're in control. You've got major ideas how to change. No, there's a Torah. There's a structure. Of course, within the Torah, you can specialize in a particular mitzvah. But not as long as it doesn't come at an expense of something else. As long as it doesn't come at an expense of people got a big into tznius, and therefore the big into tznius within, and therefore they speak against Ketim the Chachamim who don't believe with them in their shitters of tznius. And as long as it doesn't come on something else as cheshbon, then it's fine. But if it does, then it's isle sisif on yisigro. Next pasuk: Va'atem hadveikim v'Hashem elekeichem chayim kulchem hayoyim. Va'atem hadveikim v'Hashem elekeichem, and you are davuk, you are bound to Hashem your God, chayim kulchem hayoyim. Chaim, alive, kulchem hayoim, alive, all of you today. Now this is a very, very difficult pasuk to understand. Va'atem azveikem Hashem lekeichem chaim kulchem hayoim. Now the world does not have this perception. The world sees a Yiddishkeit as a sacrifice. One sees Yiddishkeit active, being frum, as a sacrifice. But a sacrifice that's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to be a frum Jew, because although this world is a, as we understand, the Mishnah says it's a prose door, it's a corridor, the next world is an oilen that carries on forever and ever, and therefore the sacrifice is worthwhile for the next world. But this world is a sacrifice. And therefore you suffer. You are suffering in this world for the next world. It says Moshe Rabbeinu over here, no. Va'atim adveikim Hashem lekeichem chayim kulchem hayoim. You're alive today. Not live then, you're alive today. Which means that the idea is over here that a person who keeps the Torah is not alive only. His very existence in this world is a proper life. His very being in this world, his whole world has a different meaning to it. He gets up in the morning, he's got halachas, he has how to get dressed, how to put on his shoes, how to wash negelwasser, how to daven, how to eat, how to sleep, how to do everything. His whole life is structured. And that is a life. You know, people always look forward to Beinah Zmanim. People always look forward to holiday. Yeah? End of the day, the feeling you have after a good day's work, yeah, is nothing compared to a day after day relaxing at the beach. You feel relaxed, machaya, but the good feeling, the day, you know, you really, the geschmack. It's nothing like a geschmack of morning seder. And the more difficult it is, the more geschmack it is. Right? Even if you enjoy your holiday, it's very nice. But how long? How long can you enjoy a holiday for? 1 week? 2 weeks? How long do people stay around the nicest, most beautiful places in the world that all look the same eventually? How long? But a person works hard and he's omol batoira and he's omol in his tefillah and he's does ben odom lechaveira, ben odom morocco. Chai and kulchan, these people are alive today. Not alive to asa lovi. These people have a life, they have an existence. You see people outside here in Bet Shemesh, you should know. I work a lot here in the tzedakahs in the area, not in this particular area, but I work with different gabbai tzedakah in Ramat Bet Shemesh and the Kiryah here. There's a tremendous amount of poverty here. Tremendous amount of poverty. People literally do not have money for food, never mind luxuries. They literally do not have money for food. You look around, you wouldn't notice it. You may notice the fact they don't have, you know, there's no Daimlers, BMWs and Jaguars outside. Very few, right? I saw one today actually in Ramat Eshkol. But in this area you don't see the sort of like beep beep and the garage doors open and the cars drive in, you know. You don't see that here. But you see happy people. You see happy people. People are happy. You walk around the street, the kids are happy, they look happy. And how often you go to the other places where people have plenty of money. There's drug abuse and there's divorces and there's wife beating and these people do not have a life never. I've got a very wealthy secular relative. He said to me, money does not buy you happiness, but allows you to live in misery and comfort. That's the idea. It allows you to live in misery and comfort. That is the idea. That atam adeichman kulchem hayoyim, you should know today you are living. Don't think that it's such a big mysterious nefesh. The fact is, of course it's mysterious nefesh sometimes. I'm not saying it's never mysterious nefesh. But the very fact that you have a structure to your life and you know what you're doing, your marriage is going to be a marriage and your children are going to be children and your job's a job and a davening's a davening. That's Chaim Kulchem Ayoyim. There's a Gemara. The Gemara brings down, this is Reb Archie Bax, Zotzeicha Sadek Livrocha, Hashem Yikam Domoy. Archie Bax was from the Shiva's Lomja. Hashem Yikam Domoy. He was killed in Lomja ghetto.
I should avenge him.
He said there's a Gemara, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Reb Archie Bax. Reb Archie, Reb Aaron Bax. His name is Reb Archie Bax. It's a Gemara Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Simon and Chesiv Zayin. That if a bird falls onto a water, falls into the sea or onto a river, and you're not sure whether it has risik evarov, you're not sure whether its bones have been crushed, which makes a bird also to eat if the bones are crushed. Yes, a trefa. How do you know if the bird is still kosher? So the Gemara says, and it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch, if the bird swims against a stream, they know it's not a trefa. If it swims with the tide, with the stream, then it's a simoni trefa.
Which
Simon Nunches Ivzain. Says about Archie Bugs. If you want to know whether a person has simoni trefa, or whether a person is simoni tusha, see if he's able to swim against the tide. If he can swim against the tide, then he's still intact. He's not a trefa. If a person every time never he goes to society and he's slept over here because the society is saying jump and he jumps and he says someone else to say skip and he skips, then he's simoni trefa. He's completely has no bone structure. This person's a simoni trefa. And that is chaim kulchem ayoyim, which means if you want to see chaim kulchem ayoyim, if you want to see whether you're alive today, see if you're able to be dovek l'Hashem. See if you're able to go against the tide and be dovek to Kodesh Baruch even in situations where everybody else is doing something else. I said this moshul before, but Chaim Kaufman said this moshul. Zeicha Tzadik Livracha. Chaim Kaufman was one of the Rashivas in Geis Hashiva Katana. A very, very, very wonderful, wonderful Yid who was Nifta about 9-10 months ago in Gateshead, Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, I heard this mashal from him himself, he said that, the way he used to say it, he said, you know, you see a person in the street, and he has a suitcase, and a suitcase has on it,
can react something.
And he has on that suitcase, in Moiradik, he has on the suitcase, he has a Chaim Kaufman, he has a suitcase, all executive labels. Yeah, no, like a BA club, gold executive club, and platinum club or El Al. All over, he has stickers all over his thing. He's got one. He's got a Bluetooth in his ear. You know, these guys look like astronauts walking around with Bluetooth. And they got. He's got on his side. He's got a BlackBerry, and he's doing email. Mamish, this guy's alive. Mamish, phones ringing and things coming in. A fax is coming out his back pocket. How many? Is this guy? He's really living. Really living. And you see Nebuch a coiling on. Nebuch, he's got this old, you know, this old one, these old big Nokia phones. And he's got a wind up at the back. And he's pale, and he's got a shiny suit, and he comes to the base of Medrash. And he learns, and he leaves. And you know, and it schleps a bit. And you think, Nebuch, who's alive? This guy is flying from one side of the world to the other. This guy's alive. And Nebuch, this guy goes every day from the coil back home, back to home, back to the coil, back to coil, back home. Nebuch, what life does he have? So he said, imagine a fellow has never seen a fish before. A fish. And you go to a fish market and you see fish jumping around. Fresh fish, taking out the water, jumping around. You think, oh, these fish are alive, Gewaldig. You know, these fish are really enjoying themselves. But then you go into a fish tank and you see fish slowly floating around. You say, oh, Nebuchadig, these fish. You know, so you've got to realize that when fish jump around, it's simonic geysers, they're on their way out. That when the fish are on the way out, they jump around. When people are going to jump around the world, from one place to another to answer one phone, these people are some other guys, they're half dead. That's where they're going to keep themselves going. A person who can just go from the kodel to his house, back from his house, back to the kodel, this is a guy who's alive, he's settled, he enjoys himself. He's with him, he's controlled. Yet people never need to go away on a holiday. They do not need to go, because they've got such a wonderful life, they don't need to go away on a holiday. That is a person who's really alive. Today, the entertainment world is so big because people want to vacate their mind. Yeah, you want to go, you want to put your head into, let's say, sports. For 2 hours, for an hour and a half, you want to put your head into the game. Who are you? I don't want to be me. I want to be Arsenal. I want to be the Yankees. Yeah, I want to be Miami Heat. I want to be a team that I can identify with. I don't identify with myself. Or I want to be watching a film that I'm so in the action, I actually feel I'm actually shooting this guy up. As long as I'm not there, as long as I'm not where I really am. I want to go to a pub and get drunk, I want to have drugs and get... But people who don't need all these things, they can just live with themselves. These are Chaim Kulchem Hayoyim, these people are really alive. They're enjoying the day-to-day. They're living the life of the way it should be lived. That's Chaim Kulchem Hayoyim.
They're battling themselves completely who they are by sticking themselves in and they're just like stripping themselves empty. They don't want to be who they are.
Join me up with a group. Yeah, absolutely.
School of fish.
Okay.
Go with table.
This parasha.
Table tennis.
Okay, but you need some time. I'll see you bring to my chachamim and play table tennis.
Okay, so what's they're escaping.
It's not escaping. A person has to relax sometimes.
The Shem Shemar.
He's relaxing. I'm not escaping from where I am. You know, I'm not totally.
He's so happy where he is, not where he's leaving.
A person sometimes needs. Sometimes needs the goof. You're right. The neshama shouldn't need it. Sometimes a goof needs to vacate a little bit. Or the gzolim needs to go on a dacha.
Yeah, but
his poshtunas idea was on a dacha. Dacha used to go out in the in dacha. Dutch is Yiddish for these holiday camps. He used to go to the holiday camps. But even when they're at the beach, they need fresh air. But when they're at the beach, you know what they're doing at the beach? They're learning. When they're playing table tennis, they're learning. They're learning. These people, their head is in learning. I got to tell you something. There's one time with Chochem Reb Ruderman, Zeicher Tzaddik v'Kadosh Livracha, Reb Ruderman. When you used to speak to him about anything, his lips were moving. He was doing Chazar of Shas as you're talking to him. As you're talking to him, he's going through Shas. And he's completely relaxed. When he relaxed, but he's in learning. Sometimes people can't be learning. Sometimes a person needs a break. Sometimes a person has the chasaron. He taka needs it. Nobody absolutely doesn't need a break b'chlal. Okay, these people go, but some people are so involved with what they're doing, they taka don't need it. Can't ask questions about those people. I mean, people who do, people who don't. You're right. In essence, a person should be happy where they are.
An ideal.
That ideal. But sometimes it's good.
Is an ideal.
It's an ideal. But sometimes people, you know, they need it. But chas v'shalom to break away from who one is on a daily schedule because of not keeping Yiddishkeit b'chlal, chas v'chalidah, not learning b'chlal. There's no reason why you can't learn 12 hours a day doing Bein HaZmanim. I'm joking. All right.
Only 12, right?
Let's move on. The pasuk says. The pasuk says. This is a pasuk you all know. It's a pasuk that is basically it's a message. It's the what's it called? The mantra. Every business has a, what's it called, a
mission statement.
This is our mission statement. Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet. Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol meidecha. Now, what does it mean b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol meidecha? So the Gemara explains in Gemara Brachos b'chol levavcha b'shnei Yitzrecha. In other words, with your full desire. Yishtar HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your full desire. What does it mean? B'chol nafshecha. What's b'chol nafshecha? With your whole life. With whoever you are, your whole life. U'b'chol meidecha. What's b'chol meidecha? B'chol meidecha, one pshat in the Gemara is with all your wealth. Now this sounds very nice. I should have Hashem with all my life, with all my wealth, and with all my desire. But in order to really get the message clear, you got to break it up and take it to its real end degree, which means you've got to really understand what it's talking about. Let's take the first case. Let's say a person has been married for many years and he has everything he possibly wants besides children. Doesn't have children, and nebuch, he goes to doctors and he goes to specialists and he has treatments, and is backwards and is forwards, and his wife is getting older and he's getting older, and he sees ready his neighbor's kids, you know, bar mitzvah, something, even getting married, and he's got nothing to show for it. Nothing. He's got no nebuch, no children. One day, out of the blue, his wife says to him, "No, I really don't feel very well. Maybe it's menopause. You know, maybe you've got to take you to a doctor. Maybe you know, middle age. You know, menopause." And goes to the doctor. The doctor says, "There's nothing wrong with her. She's pregnant." Can you imagine what simcha this fellow has? Can you imagine how much you love the day you heard that day? Can you imagine what simcha, unbelievable simcha, a person will have, and how a person who's a man into Kaddish Baruch Hu will love Kaddish Baruch Hu the day he heard his wife is pregnant? That is b'shatz. B'chol levavcha, with all your desire. Desire means with all the, you had such a tremendous desire, and Kaddish Baruch Hu gave you your desire. That is how much love you got to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu on that day. That is how much love you got to inject in yourself. That you looked forward for something so much, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to you, that's the amount of love you got to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu at that moment. That is B'chol Nafshecha.
Don't understand.
B'chol Levavcha.
Amounts.
The amount of simcha, the amount of love you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu at that moment when you find out that the wife is pregnant. That is a kind of love you're going to have to love to Kodesh Baruch Hu on a regular basis. That's how much love I should try and pump into myself when I say the Shema Yisrael. That is a kind of level I'm supposed to be able to reach, aspire to reach to.
Every day,
twice a day. Every day, twice a day, when I'm walking along the street. That is the amount of love I'm supposed to have for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, let's move on. Let's say a person is Nebuch very, very ill. He has cancer, Nebuch. Nebuch, he has cancer, and doctors give him a week. And he calls in his family, and he calls in his friends, and he calls in his lawyers, and he sorts everything out, and he writes out his will, and everything else, and he's counting down the days, 6, 5, 4, 3, he's working out exactly what he'll do on the last day of his life, and he's thinking to himself, planning the last few minutes, brought his whole family from all over, and he's around his hospital bed, the doctor walks in and says to him, Mr. Martin Smith? No. My name is Michael Smith. Michael Smith. Mr. M. Smith. Oh, silly me, I'm sorry. You're fine, you can go home. And Martin Smith, who just died this morning, here is the one. But you're Michael, that's fine, you can go home, you're absolutely fine. You know, pack up your bags, no, it's nothing wrong with you at all. Can you imagine what simcha this guy will leave the hospital? How much love he'll have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He may not like the doctor very much. Maybe he will, give an appreciation of life. But how much he'll love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, that is b'shat b'chol nafshecha, with all your life. U'v'chol ma'idecha, one's desire, what you really wanted, this is all your life. That actually, Hashem's given me life. U'v'chol ma'idecha, you have a multi-millionaire, and business has gone all the way down, and he's left with a few shares and a miserable business. He had an empire, he had businesses, he had buildings, he had a huge portfolio. Everything's gone. He's left with a few miserable shares. He's left with nothing, and he's no longer the chairman of the company anymore. He's no longer the governor of the school anymore. He's no longer getting shishi in shul. His wife has sort of left him for somebody else, or looking to leave him for somebody else. His kids don't phone him up anymore. And Nebuch is left from his house. He's been put down in a little dusty little cellar somewhere, basement somewhere. He's living from there, broken man. One day, stockbroker phones up. And he gets a message on his phone, only incoming calls only, and he says to him, by the way, sir, you may not be aware that, you know, remember you had this 250 shares in something called Microsoft? Yeah, something called Microsoft? So yeah, I bought them. This little kid, this Bill Gates, came to me and another thing, and I bought them. So we've done it with Microsoft. Each one of the shares today is worth $500,000. You're joking. Yep. You bought 250, you're a multimillionaire again. He goes out there and he's living again. Can you imagine how happy this guy is? Would little things bother him then? If somebody annoyed him, if somebody embarrassed him, if somebody called him a name, just laugh at him. This is v'chol mo'idecho, with all your money. This is how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us for our wealth. Now imagine this happened, a man who was very wealthy, who was extremely wealthy, but he's gone all the way down. Not only has he gone all the way down financially, but he's in the hospital on the last day of his life, with no children. And three things happened in that day. Number one, he's told by the doctor it's a mistake. Number two, he's told his wife is pregnant. And number three, he's got all his money back. How would this guy feel? How much love would he have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is Peshat V'ahat Hashem L'kech B'chol V'chol Nafshech V'chol Meidecho.
Oh, right.
It's been tweaked a bit, but that is the idea over here of the, how much love you could have for Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is a concept of you got to focus on that. You got to think about it. When you go through Kriya Shema, use your imagination. Try and use your imagination. What you would feel and say, ah, thank you, Hashem. Imagine a person, Rahman al-Islam, yeah, has a car accident, Rahman al-Islam, and he loses both of his hands. His legs are okay, his eyes are okay, his teeth are okay, everything. He loses his hands. How happy would he be if he can now use his hands? You know, Nebuch, you go to a hospital, how's dad? Oh, he's doing a lot of progress. He moved his toe today. Oh, thank God. Yeah? And your father's alive. You've got your hands, you've got your eyes, you've got your ears, you've got your teeth, you've got everything, you're breathing and you're seeing and you're alive. Baruch Hashem, unbelievable. You're going to dance up and down. Mama Simcha. That is the idea of how much you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk carries on. The Pasuk says, V'hoyu ha'dvarim ha'ele ashanoichi mitzavacha hayoim al levavecho. And these things you got to put on your heart. Al levavecho. Now what does it mean? You should love Hashem v'chol levavcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol meidecho, and you should put these things on your heart. What is the idea of Peshat? You should put it on your heart. So, in Asof and Sitz from the Well, in this week's parasha, there's a moshe there about Gregory MacDonald. Gargreen MacDonald. Gargreen MacDonald is a sheep farmer who lived in the Yorkshire Dales. He's a fourth generation sheep farmer who lived in the Yorkshire Dales, and he's decided to move to the big city. Move to London. So he packs up his carriage with all his possessions, and he takes his kids and he goes to the beautiful streets of London. And he notices that wherever he goes, he's getting people getting smirks. People are smiling, people are giving him grimaces, people are looking down at him, and he does not understand why. Until he realizes he's wearing his old farmer's clothes, his patches, and thick, heavy clothing, not tailored, and he realizes he's totally out of his league here. So he makes a trip to Savile Row, and he gets there beautifully tailored suits, and the guy takes measurements. After a week or two, he gets called back, and he tries a suit in the changing room, and this stone-faced salesman hears these Yorkshire expletives coming from the changing room. So what's going on? He said, "You've made me wrong clothing." If that's a Yorkshire accent. He said, "They don't fit." He said, "What do you mean you don't fit? We measured you up beautifully. Did he eat too much?" He said, "No, I don't eat too much." And they check him up, and they see that the idiot has put on his new clothing over his old clothing. He put on his beautifully tailored suits over his old thick clothing. Of course it doesn't fit. So he's just saying, maybe first take off the old clothing, and then put on your new clothing, and then it'll fit. He tries it on, and he can look the best he could possibly look. We try and love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha with our old clothing still on us, with our old prejudices, with the realization that klichiva itzim yodi, that we are doing everything, that we deserve life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, who is Hashem anyway? And therefore we don't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's not al levavcha, it's not on our hearts. We are having HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not on our hearts, he's on our old clothing. Says the pasuk, how did Hashem b'chol nashim b'chol meidecha if ahoy avon ma'il ha'shanichim sabacha ayoyim al levavecha? If you shed all your old clothing, all your old prejudices and your flaws, then you put it directly on your heart, then you'll be able to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way you should love him. Al levavecha means on your heart. No, that's what he means that you don't. On your heart means directly connected to your desires, which means we have within us the capability to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we should do. But the only way to do it is only if you put him on your heart, you take away, you strip away everything else, and strip away all the shtus, then we can start appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way he should be appreciated. That's al levavecha. I just want to give you one thing for Tisha B'Av. You're going to be hearing, Mr. Shem, some real quality things. I don't want to take it too long. There's one beautiful moshel I saw from Shimshon Pinkus, Shreichas Adi Gibracha. He said that Tisha B'Av is called a moyed. It's called a time of meeting with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Moyed means oihol moyed, the tent of meeting. Moyed means a meeting. And therefore there's no tachnun, not only on Tisha B'Av itself, but not even Erev Tisha B'Av, tomorrow after Mincha, not be tachnun. So how can we consider Tisha B'Av to be considered the Moyed? No tachnun. Time is a form of a time of celebration. How can we celebrate when we're so deep in Golus? When such terrible things have happened? Holocaust and massacres and pogroms and Beis HaMikdash and everything else. It's a day of national... It's national day of remembrance of the crisis and sorrow of Klal Yisrael. Why is it Moyed? You don't say Tachnun. What's the idea of that? Second of all, it says the pasuk in Tehillim, Mizmor La'Asaf. Bo goyim v'nachlu sechel. Mizmor La'Asaf. Oh, the Mizmor, the praise of song of Asaf. Bo goyim v'nachlu sechel. Goyim came into your nachlo. So the Gemara asks, Mizmor La'Asaf. Kina La'Asaf mi boyilei.
Wait, so where's this one?
It's an Eicha Rabba. It's an Eicha Rabba Perek Dalet. It's a Medrash. Kina la Osof mi boyle. You should say a kinnas. A kinnas of Osof. Osof was a person, one of the people who wrote Tehillim. It should be a kinna, a wailing of Osof, not a singing of Osof. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mizbor la Osof, that he shoyfech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamosa el Eitzim Havon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let out his wrath on Eitzim and Avonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no letter is wrapped on Klal Yisrael. That's the Eichel. Now again, this is very difficult to understand. I don't want to go into... we haven't got long, we've got 2 minutes. I literally want to just give you the marshal over here. What's the idea over here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu really let his chamaso al eisim and avonim? It says Nosna es an nivlecha avdecho meichel oif hashemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left Klal Yisrael to the vultures. The blood is all over the place. Was it just on the base of Mikdash? And what's the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the base of Mikdash? What's the idea behind it? So he said an unbelievable mashal, such an excellent mashal. He said that there was a artist. Shem Shem Pinker said there's an artist, and the artist was standing on top of a mountain, on the summit of a mountain, looking at the most beautiful landscaping, and he's building a landscape. He's painting a landscape of all the stunning mountains above it, the snow-capped mountains, the lakes, the trees, the birds. Unbelievable, huge painting. And he's been working on this painting for weeks and weeks and weeks. And his friend comes up the mountain and he sees what his friend is doing. And he's very, very impressed. Anyway, the painter looks at the painting, and for last finishing touches, he starts walking backwards to see, know how it looks from a distance, to put in last finishing touches, and he walks further and further back. And he's amazed about this picture. He's getting so involved in the picture that he doesn't realize that he's falling further and further back towards a sheer drop of thousands and thousands of meters. Thousands of meters. And his friend shouts, "Stop, stop, stop." He doesn't listen to him. He carries on walking backwards and backwards. And his friend realizes he won't have enough time to jump and stop him. So what does he do? He takes out of his pocket his penknife and he starts tearing up the painting, starts ripping the painting. And his friend says, "What are you doing?" He starts charging towards him to stop him doing it. And he saved his life for not dropping down the precipice and falling down the mountain. Says Reb Pinkus, we looked at the base of Mikdosh as a beautiful painting. It was so beautiful that every time we did an Avera, you know what we did? We phoned up our cattle dealer in Yerushalayim, find a nice korban, and that's it. And they used, it was such a beautiful painting that we got so lost in the landscape that we almost were dying. Why? Because we had a base of Mikdosh with no ruchnius involved with it. We looked at the base of Mikdosh as a way of doing an easy way of tshuva, and we were doing whatever we wanted, just for a few korbanos. And we were falling down the mountain. We're literally falling down the mountain. We're being destroyed. And it's either that or ripping up the painting. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it and ripped up the painting, that Klal Yisrael should run back to Ruchnius, should chase back to Ruchnius and say, "Rebbe Yishan, stop, what are you doing? Oh, you got my attention now. What you're doing is totally, totally wrong. You don't use the base Midrash for your own purposes. You use the base Midrash in order to come in closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Shofar Chamasa Eitzim Vavonim. We are so happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grabs our attention at times, that awakens us in times when Rachman and Itzlan, Yiddishkeit is going down the tubes. Before the Second World War, they were in Poland, there was 80 secular newspapers. 80 secular newspapers and reform newspapers, only one Yiddish newspaper that gave over Torah views. And Klal Yisrael were going down and down and down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Nissim v'Nifloys. He made an unbelievable miracle that 6 million of the best of Klal Yisrael got picked from us, got taken from us. Why? To grab our attention. To bring back another generation of Balei Tshuva, to bring back a generation of people who are involved in Torah and realize what Torah is all about. But if without that, Klal Yisrael would be miserable. You know what reform was like then? That is a mizmor. That is a no tachnun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know it's hard. We know it's painful. But this is Klal Yisrael, our survival, our day of Tisha B'Av is a day of survival. It's a day of Jewish survival through Jewish tragedy. And that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to destroy major parts of his beauty, major parts of the base of Mikdash, just for our survival. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. And that is the idea of Tisha B'Av. With sitting on the floor, with crying, with pain, with everything, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael. Shofar Chamasei al Eitzim Avonim did not destroy Klal Yisrael. And that is what we have to appreciate. Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avarachanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us like more than a father loves a son. You cannot imagine the love. And any tzara HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael is only to catch our attention to come closer to him. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us Be'ezus Hashem only simchus and only opportunities for growth that we should enjoy Be'ezus Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash from here of Yomeinu, shall a good bein hazmanim, that we should grow and grow, and we should not chas v'shalom be within the tide of where we're going. We should grow into chazara and become ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah wherever we may be, and be zeicha to Gula Shleima.
Amen.